We have a quorum, so I guess we could go ahead and start.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and open the Boulder Town Planning Commission meeting for December 9th, 2021. And has everybody had a chance to look at the agenda? Is there any comments on the agenda?
So I'll make a motion. So make a motion that we approve the November or approve our agenda, the December agenda.
I'll second that motion. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Elin Hughes, aye.
John Verath, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Okay, so Peg got us off the November minutes and Bob was fairly lengthy.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of a long meeting. When I read the minutes, I realized it was a long meeting. So does anyone have any comments on the November meeting or minutes?
I had some corrections that I sent to Peg. Have they been incorporated in the typed version?
Okay, nothing that we need to discuss or anything. It's okay, Peg, the November minutes.
Real quick, let's see.
Are you hearing me now?
Yes. Okay. So a couple quick corrections. They're all typographical.
Okay.
Cascade on third paragraph, first page or second paragraph, first page. Cascade Water Resources. And then on the third paragraph of the second page. John suggested and it was unclear what followed, a phased approach starting with gathering data.
Got him.
And that was it?
That was,
I remember reading that. Okay, so we can probably just go ahead and approve the November amendment.
Just make note, Colleen, make note that you are approving them with the corrections of John's.
Okay, I think John found another one.
Did Haley just
heard?
Do
what?
Haley just
heard.
Okay.
Okay.
Third one.
Okay, so that was the actual corrections. At some point after we approve the minutes, I do want to comment about.
Looks like they froze over there, Peg. You're muted, but.
Yes, it looks like they did. I don't see anybody alive. They'll have to reconnect, I guess.
Okay. Break time.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Oh. What happened?
I don't know.
Internet's not doing so hot here.
It kicked us off.
Okay, we have a motion in a second, so I guess we're ready for a vote.
Wait a minute. I didn't get that. So could you repeat? We're talking about the minutes now, correct?
Yeah. So I made a motion that we would approve the November minutes with the two corrections that John made.
Okay.
I'll second that motion. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Haley Hughes, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Okay. Okay. Are you hearing me okay? I think they froze out again. It's going to be bad. Matt, can you hear me okay?
I can.
I can hear you, Peg. This is Haley.
Hi, Haley. Okay, hi. I guess I'm not seeing them. So it sounds like their internet is pretty flaky tonight. Might be difficult. If they don't come back momentarily, then we can operate with how can we operate? We can operate without OWL and just have hopefully April on her computer.
Sorry about that. Our internet doesn't seem to be. I would try switching to Boulder Library. It's doing better.
The Boulder Library is probably more problematic than your secure line, but I guess it's up to you guys. Okay, well, let's keep going.
Well, let's see if they connect again. There's not a whole lot we can do if we only have two members of the PC here.
That's true.
If this continues to be a problem, I think we might look into HughesNet or something. You can get better reception.
She's got two different lines that she can try to connect through. The secure Boulder one and the Boulder Library one, which is public, not.
So, there's Peg. Are you there, Peg?
Yeah, you just came back on now, so hopefully you haven't done anything.
So I'm gonna try to sign in also on my phone, so I can try on my computer too if that's easier.
Okay.
So, we want to wait, or?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so Peg, we were talking about the Planning Commission budget. Could you pull that up?
Yes.
Or, actually, you had information, so I'm just going to let you kind of go ahead with the information that you had for the staff report.
And okay. First of all, it seems like the budget was important for you to look at in advance of some of your other conversations here tonight. So I think you should be able to see the budget. I'm trying to move my little screen thing around here. Okay, so this is from the 1st of July through the end of October. So, and what we're looking at is current month actual is the first column, year to date is the second column, and the actual budget is the third column. Okay, and then the remaining are the others. So there's only three line items that deal with the Planning Commission. First of all, this would presumably be me, salaries and wages. and this is the, what do you call it, the stuff that comes out. And then Planning Commission expenditures, I'm pretty sure that is just Lee Nellis, because I can't think of anything else that the Planning Commission has expended on, to my knowledge. But this is the finest detail that we have as far as our breakdown. The, you can see the total budget is $10,000 for the year, fiscal year, is how the town operates. So that runs from 1st of July to June 30th. So $10,000 is allotted to the Planning Commission. So my salary, Lee's salary, and any kind of travel, training, documents, books, printing, et cetera, would come out of this $10,000. So, so that's about all I can really tell you about right now.
So the zoning administrator doesn't come out of the Planning Commission, it comes out of the town council.
I'm pretty sure this is, see this other administrative, I wasn't sure if they put me under this or that, but I would assume zoning comes out of this admin salaries, Judy's, Michaela's did, you know, so that's that.
Does anyone have any comments?
So I think my sense is you just wanted to know what you had budgeted, and there's no finer detail that's itemized here than just those three items at this point, I guess.
Okay, and has the town council given us any guidance about that expenditures line item?
No.
Okay.
There's no stipulations. It's preferably, I mean, the only things that I've really heard them mention is if you wanted to go to a training session or travel to conference or something of that nature, that would come out of your this expenditures.
Before COVID, I took a couple of trainings down. I went down to Washington County, actually, and it was a three-day training. So that's what they paid for. They paid for my room, they paid for the training. And but since we haven't had COVID, all of that is online now. So we used to use that budget a little bit. We went over to Wayne County one time for a training. So that was part of it too.
Right. And I think they upped the budget to 10,000. As I recall, it was during the 2016, 2017 when you're doing those wintertime Planning Commission meetings. There was a lot of printing involved and wasn't so much travel or anything, but there, that's the period when the Rural Utah group put together that nice color pamphlet that got reprinted. They gave us a good printing deal, but we still printed massive quantities of that, pretty much one for everyone in town. So there was a lot of expenditure during that period, and I think that's when they bumped us up to 10,000 to make sure we were covered adequately. And any consultation and stuff like that. So that was in place when Lee came along. So anyway, that's what it is.
So we'll have to postpone our training sessions to Costa Rica.
Oh, I think one or two of you still could probably go.
Hey, can you scroll down for a minute? Tessa wants to see the top.
Well, you were telling, the current month, current year-to-date annual budget and the remaining budget.
I believe this says earned, right?
So, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Okay, wish I could do more, but that's what we have. And then the other thing I believe I was going to talk about in terms of procedures is just I am going to be posting, like Colleen's term actually expires at the end of this month. So I'm officially posting the opening of that position, but she's also eligible for re-upping for her another term. So, so as I understand, Colleen has submitted her name and would be one of the contenders. And if anyway, so the next town council would make that appointment. Actually, Judy would make that appointment, Judy Drain.
Okay.
with the advice and consent of the town council. So that would be happening at their first meeting, which is on the second, which is on the 6th of January, is that right? Kind of dim here. I think the 6th of January is their first meeting. So they would make the appointment on that day. So when our meeting rolls around on the 13th, we would actually know who the next commissioner is. Colleen, as the current commissioner, opens the meeting, asks for approval of the agenda, the minutes, and then it's kind of up to you guys when the elections happen, but typically they happen at the beginning of the meeting. So the new chairperson would then run the rest of the meeting. And the other thing I have to do in January would be the open meetings training, which is a state mandate. So we sort of can't get out of that. So we already have that as a procedure for January. So that's mainly what I wanted to tell you about as far as procedures. It would be nice to, as I was talking to Colleen earlier, it's up to the Planning Commission to actually determine their operating procedures, how they're going to run meetings. It's not stipulated in the ordinance. So it's up to you guys to come up with how you do want to run your meetings. And also in our ordinance, it says that you write out and have published what your procedures are. So we have been negligent in getting that taken care of. And it would be nice maybe to have someone offline sort of undertake writing up the procedures after you decide what they are, or someone proposes what they should be and you vote on it, however you want to work that. And we can actually publish those so people know how the Planning Commission operates, which would include the whole Roberts rules and how you handle that. Excuse me. So that would be upcoming in the new term.
How about ethics training? When do we get that?
I think that's also a yearly thing.
We did it this summer, right? Did we do it this summer?
We talked about it. I remember that. I'll have to ask Judy. I try to kind of coordinate when she does hers, and not really positive. As long as it's yearly, and typically the beginning of the year makes sense. So depending on our load of business in January, we can do it at the same time, or we can wait until February probably to do it. It's shorter and more succinct than the open meetings.
Great. Thank you, Peg. Does anybody have any other comments or any questions about our meetings or the budget or anything that Peg might be able to answer?
This is Elena. I have a quick question. So if we try to do the hydrology study and stuff, we still have to have the town council.
That's the next.
We still have the town council approve. Like they have to approve our budget recommendations, right? Yes. Like if we want to spend the money.
Yes.
The question I had there was, what are the town's rules about getting multiple bids on such on consulting work and so forth?
I am pretty certain that, Judy Drain, you may have to correct me on this, but I think if the expenditure is over $1,000, you have to get, you have to have bids.
I think that's correct. Did you hear me?
Yes, thank you, Judy.
Yeah.
So anything that we do has to go before the town council. Anything that we do basically has to go before them too.
Right. I don't think you can just. I don't think you can just spend money without their approval that you're spending money. Right. So. Are you talking about the concept of spending money for a hydrology consultant, perhaps? Is that?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if that's our choice or if we put a recommendation in front of the town council and they decide if we actually spend the money or not.
I believe that's how it works, yes. So, yeah, when you put something together, you would say, you know, this much money, and right now that would equal X amount of your budget. So you have that figure. But yeah, I think you'd have to make a recommendation or request to the town council. Besides, I don't have a checkbook, so I can't like spend money.
And that's correct, Peg.
Okay, does anyone else have any comments? Okay, so the next item that we have is the continued discussion on the hydrology study. And I'm not sure where we want to go from here. Matt, you can go ahead and start with that if you want.
Yeah, so I've been in contact with John Files, and basically what we need to do as a PC is agree on having him. He was unable to do it for this round, but to write up a proposal. And I think we talked about most of the details, which are in the minutes from last meeting, about what a phased proposal would look like, and relying on, you know, I would imagine the most at this point inexpensive way that gives us the most information. And so we basically, I was going to work with John. So for the January meeting, we have a formal proposal from Cascade Resources that we can then review. And if we agree on it, then send it over to the town council at this point. What else do I want to say about this? There might be, you guys might have ideas or comments about what you want in that proposal, but if you looked at the minutes, we had it pretty well mapped out. My question really about a proposal is, how much information do we really need to figure out the trend of the groundwater? How much detail do we actually need? You know, obviously, we just need enough to be able to make our decisions from. And then there's a point where, you know, it becomes ineffective cost-wise if we go way too deep into it. So any thoughts about that?
Yeah, Matt. So John or Mr. Files, when he came, he also suggested that we pull Boulder Farmstead in for information so that we had those entities working together, at least two of them together. I can't remember if there was a third one, but I know that there was at least two. So would they be like, they wouldn't really be pulled into this proposal, would they, or would that be something separate?
Well, in my mind, the proposal is there to put all that strategy together and to go forth from there. So
that would be part of that proposal then, is who we bring into it and where those in what those in entities will, the information that we'll get from them also.
Correct. Like, what does a phase study look like? It looks like maybe, I think some of the examples are, yeah, bringing in Boulder Irrigation, looking at, you know, the Boulder Mountain Lodge wells, because they're shallow, they're easy to check in for contamination, following out the existing paperwork that's already on file, lots of really simple ways to get a whole bunch of information. That would be like a phase one or, you know, something like that. And then if we needed to proceed from there, we could, but John would know the details really about that, I imagine. So that's what we're looking for him to do for us for now. And that would also give us, well, what's the cost? And then we can pass it on to the town council, depending on that.
That sounds great. That sounds good. Does anybody else have any comments? John, do you have comments?
Thank you for taking the lead on this, Matt. The one thing, just based on the discussion we had a few minutes ago, if John Files thinks that his proposal is going to go over $1,000, we probably should solicit other proposals. You know, if Jones and DeMille says they don't do this kind of work, well, that's the second bid. If the State Geology Survey comes with a sky-high number, that's our third bid. But I think if he's going to go over 1,000, we should probably ask other consultants to submit a proposal as well.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind and I'll see if I can get them to give us a proposal for a proposal that stays under $1,000.
That's usually how it's done.
Okay, good job. Okay, does anyone else have any comments? Okay, so we're gonna go ahead and move on to our discussion, continued discussion on subdivision amendments, the street, private streets and right of way. Before we start on this again, I wanna kind of, the history of this. I think this is one of the very last things that the Planning Commission is working on that Steve had us, which was to start digging into the subdivision ordinance. And the reason why we picked streets was because we had a situation a couple of months ago where somebody wanted to buy some property in the street and the streets and the right-of-ways. There was a question about it and how it was written in the subdivision ordinance. And that's why Lee started with this specific amendment. I mean, no, it's not amendment. This specific subject. And then I don't know how many of you were able to look at what John put together. Did all of you get a chance to look at what John put together? I think he sent it out to everyone. And then Lee commented. So anyway, what I wanted to do was kind of look at this, because I think this is a little bit in the line of what the thing that Lee does with us, and I'm hoping that everybody on the Planning Commission keeps telling the town council how much help Lee Nellis is to us. What he does for us is very valuable, and I'm glad to see that our budget is a big part of him. But what what Lee does is he basically asks us questions, makes us think about it for a while. He doesn't really tell us anything until we've had these questions proposed to us, and then he kind of leads the discussion after that. And so John did have some interesting comments on this, and I just wanted to know if anybody else had any comments, or John, if you want to kind of go through this a little bit, because we don't have Lee here tonight and I don't want to end in 10 minutes. So would you mind doing that?
Okay, sure. I might have to borrow your copy.
Anyway, I'm going to give John this. Is that okay with it? Does anybody have any questions or want to go over this? And if Haley or anyone, so I'm going to give this copy to John and we'll just talk about it for a little bit.
Well, yeah, let's have John talk about it and let's actually discuss it. I'd like to hear from each of the commissioners about this. So.
Okay, so what happened is after that, we got going on this, what finally hit me was that Lee had actually put in his original draft ordinance, this definition does not allow for private streets. We need to talk about the pros and cons of private streets and then add a separate definition if that is warranted. And I think that's what was the big hang up from Mark McKiff was, well, let's not leave that hanging. And when I thought about it, we cleared up the question of private driveways across 10 acre parcels that they're included in the 10 acres, so you could still make 2 5-acre parcels. But then if you require a dedicated street, you're right back to where you started, that you don't have room to get 2 5-acre lots on a 10 acre parcel unless they both front an existing street. So that was sort of what's, I realized, yes, we have a problem with the draft wording that we have to clear up and figure out our intent. Because if our intent was to allow subdivision of 10-acre parcels, we have to come up with a fix. But then as I thought about it,
This is really a big question for the character of the town, and I think Lee has some pretty strong opinions about that. You know, he made his comments that he sees private streets as being a disaster. On the other hand, they are traditionally how we've handled small subdivisions here in Boulder. So I'm going to be I have mixed feelings on that part of the issue, and I'm going to be interested to hear what other people have to say. But the basic question boils down to that: should Boulder continue to allow private driveway easements on minor, whether we call it 2, 3, or 4 lots, but minor subdivisions? Alternatively, if we require public streets, is the town council willing to accept those as public streets and maintain them? And I'll point out that there's a third way, which has got the worst of both worlds, and that would be to require a dedicated street, so you lose acreage from the parcel, but that it's managed by a homeowners association, where if you've only got 2 or 3 owners, you've got all the problems, whether you've got a formal homeowners association or just treated as a private driveway. So I think that's probably, it's a way that's done in some places, but is got some real disadvantage. So I said I wanted to do a little research, and I did use the advantage of American Legal, and thank you, Peg, for arranging that training. It was great. So I looked at all the towns that do have their ordinances on American Legal, and the only town I found that actually prohibits private streets is Mapleton. Garfield County allows them. The town of Hatch explicitly allows private streets. A lot of other small towns in southern Utah allow them. A lot of the towns in Washington County allow them. So yes, it is possible under Utah law to prohibit, to require all streets to be public streets, but that's certainly not the normal practice. So that's what I learned from that. You know, the pros of a public street, it's you've got a nice recorded access, it creates a very friendly community appearance. I do want to come back at the end to talk about our current street ordinance. The con is that, you know, the town would have to do some additional budgeting if they're going to have a lot of private streets become public streets, or future subdivision streets being public streets. And that the town council's willingness to support that's going to be crucial if that's the way we recommend. And of course, requiring dedicated streets does make some additional parcels unsubdividable. With regard to private driveways, continues our current practice, and it does create an informal rural appearance to the town. The biggest negative is that it can lead to a very unfriendly looking town where you've got lots of locked gates and no trespassing signs. Also more potential for owner disputes, especially where some of these driveways are unrecorded historic easements. So that's sort of what I had summarized in that white paper that I sent out. The last thing I want to comment on is that I looked at our current town subdivision ordinance. I think it's 152 something. I could look at the number here in a second, but what we require in our town ordinance are basically very urban looking streets for any private drive joining a town road. It talks about 22 foot wide pavement. It requires a slope of less than 2% for 100 feet, requires matching the pavement of the town road for 30 feet, 4-to-1 shoulders. That is not what we have in Boulder. We have never enforced that. So I looked at, well, what is a 22-foot wide street? Well, 100 West in front of the town hall here is 22 feet wide. Lower Boulder Road at the narrowest is about 15 feet of pavement. And about the widest I found was around 23 feet. So we'd be requiring a 1 or 2 lot subdivision to have a road as wide as 100 east or and wider than Lower Boulder Road. Most driveways, gates typically are 12 to 16 feet wide. Use lane, the driving lane is 9 feet wide. So, you know, we certainly also have to look at if we're going to have private driveways or public streets, we have to amend our street design standards if we want to maintain the look of Boulder and not have things that look like Salt Lake or Sandy or St. George. So I'd like to hear what other people have to say about this from now.
I'll go. Hey, thanks, John, for all that research. So back to the beginning of your topic, one thing that's I've been thinking a lot about and that's important to me is that I think you're correct, maintaining the character of Boulder and, you know, the private drives is actually really important. So in one sense, that 2-3-4 acre minor subdivision, allowing the private drive in there makes sense to me because those smaller subdivisions are where locals might split off like a piece, an acreage for someone who already lives here or something like that. And, you know, my own driveway keeps in character with that. And so I think by setting sort of a fine line between where you can do this and where you cannot do this so that it promotes, you know, more of an ease for residents already here and smaller subdivisions, that seems wise to me, but at the same time, I would rather have dedicated streets subject to the larger subdivisions that come in so that they are actually designed correctly. I don't want to see sidewalks and curbs and so on. So I think in that larger conversation, we're going to have to be clear on the sort of characteristics that we want. We know that Boulder is unlike any other town in the Mountain West, and we want it to stay that way. So everything we have to do is unique in my mind. So that's where I'll start out with my comments.
Why do I like that for her?
John, this is Elena. John, I appreciate you looking into the width of all those roads. I do think, yeah, it probably makes sense in a big subdivision. Like I'm imagining if that Hoyt project had gone through, it makes sense if there are homes on each side of the road to have a road that wide that people can turn in and out of their driveways from. But I agree with Matt that it seems like a lot for just a 2-lot subdivision, not only space-wise, but again, if it's something that like a local is doing for a local and it's just a 2-lot subdivision or something like that, it seems not only like a lot of space, but really cost prohibitive to put in an actual road. It takes up a lot of land, especially if that person is trying to, you know, homestead that land or live off the land. It takes up a lot of space. It would be really cost prohibitive. I also talked to Lee. I had about a half an hour phone conversation with Lee in the meantime and got some more clarification on this. I don't know if now's the time we want me to do that or if you and Haley want to make comments first. Okay. So Lee was suggesting that perhaps we put the language back in about 4 lots or less, which is something that was in there. And then with the amendments, we took it out. He was suggesting that maybe we put that back in and that could, it's crossed out on the amendments there. And the line specifically is a private right-of-way may be used to access up to 4 lots, provided such private right-of-way has direct access to a dedicated or publicly approved road or street. So that kind of allows it, it still needs to be near a main street, but it can have kind of a private street that goes off of it. I think given the other amendments we made, we would have to, I didn't think of this until after I talked to Lee, but I think we would have to change the language there so that it read as easement or as driveway, because if we put it in there as a right of way, we just change the language such that a right of way is not counted in the acreage. The other thing that we said that he feels like would be a really good idea for Boulder is to allow flag lots. Are you all familiar with what a flag lot is? Okay, it is, give me a second, I'll draw it real quick. So basically, let's see if you guys can see. Basically, it's like if you had one lot like that, you can make, right now we can't do it because of the 1-3 thing, but if we did it this way, you can kind of, this can be the first lot, that can be the second lot. You can kind of have this be the driveway and then you come back to here. So it allows there to be a lot on a road that's kind of split such that both people can access the actual road or right of way from it.
So it looks like a flag.
It looks like a flag. And the other thing that it does for us, like the driveway being the flagpole, and the other thing it does for us is that it kind of only really counts for these smaller subdivisions anyway, because you're not going to have like six flags on a, like it just wouldn't make sense. So it kind of makes sense for like this specific setup just to get back to one lot or two lots perhaps. So he was saying that he's seen a lot of towns in the West do that, and he thinks it's a good idea. He thinks it's a good idea, that it kind of helps solve a lot of problems, and it also dispute shared private road and disputes of that nature, because it's just like technically the person that lives back here owns the land that the driveway's on, and it's not shared, not fought over.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I have a question on that, Elena. Do you think that would a flag lot need to be added plus what we just talked about beforehand if we reintroduce the 2-3-4 acre?
I see what you're saying. Like, what we need to do that's probably a better question for Lee. He sort of talked about it, I felt like, as a one or the other, but I could be wrong there. It seemed like either way, he thinks it's a good idea in Boulder. I'm not sure if it presents any challenges that I haven't thought of yet. I'm curious if you guys have thoughts on flag lots.
I've never even seen this basically, so I don't really have any comments on it. And I think it's just something, there again with Lee, this is something that we can look at and think about as far as whether we know about it or not. It's given us something to think about as far as the proposal.
Yeah.
Any further comments? Haley, what do you think of this? And John, any more questions?
I like what Elena has to say. I think that, you know, all the information's valid. I don't really have too many comments, honestly.
I think the thing is when Perry was on the Planning Commission, I remember one time we started talking about roads, and I don't remember, Matt, if you were on, but it's a big discussion. It's going to take us a few months to go through this. So anything that Lee brings up as far as us being able to look at things is a good thing. One of the things that I wanted to look at too was as far as roads is, and this is like with Peter, Ray Gardner asked us about roads as far as what he's looking at doing in the future. And Peter is a fire marshal, and I think that's one thing you have to always take into consideration too, is your fire. You know, like whatever, if somebody can get down a cul-de-sac, get whatever turned around and back out, that's one of the most important things too, as far as what we need to keep. And as long as we have that as a minimum, I feel like that takes care of one really big problem as far as the bottom line, you know. That's really all my comment.
I was just giving anyone else a chance to speak. I think that's, these are helpful comments. I think my flag lots are fairly common in areas where old agricultural parcels were subdivided. Salt Lake County is just full of them. And it works well. I mean, sometimes there's a shared driveway where the flag is, that goes down the edge of the edge of the flag goes down the middle of the driveway so that it's wider, but each landowner is contributing some. Or some cases, you could put it all on the flag and just have a shared easement so that the you don't have two turnoffs. That was one of Perry's concerns, having parallel driveways, right, you know, just, you know, 20 feet apart, because the two owners couldn't come to some agreement about sharing.
That's exactly. So thank that, you, that John.
In the streets.
That's, what?
It's in the street.
So yeah.
You can't have that in subdivision.
Yeah. So, but I think that that is something, you know, in the street standards, that's something we've got to come back to. But that was Perry's concern. So, you know, I think one thing, you know, I kind of lean toward giving people the most flexibility rather than the town, the zoning ordinances telling somebody how to design something. We focus on addressing the proper town concerns like the fire truck access, visibility at the intersection so that somebody doesn't get sideswiped pulling out of the driveway. Those are the municipal concerns. And then let the landowners figure out how they can make things work for their parcel, especially the parcels that have irregular terrain, irrigation ditches near the road, things like that. You know, they need that flexibility. One comment, just picking up, Matt, you mentioned bigger subdivisions. And the thing I wanted to comment about that Lee Nellis said the last time, he made this statement about, you know, 100 lot subdivision coming in along. I looked at our ordinances, and our ordinances have so many hurdles that somebody is not going to be able to do the old trick of just subdividing a whole parcel and recording it and blindsiding us. One thing the town council has the authority to do under our ordinance is require all the infrastructure be in place before the plat is filed with the county and any lots can be sold. So if somebody wanted to put in a 100 lot subdivision, the town could make sure that all the roads, all the fire hydrants, all the water lines, all the septic tests were done before the first lot was sold. And I don't think anyone's going to do that on speculation in the near future. So I think we've got a lot of protections under our ordinances against things like that. And that was my main comment. They also made the thing about a comment about, well, those water rights are there forever. I think anyone who's filed for a private well permit, I've done two of them over the years. You only have 5 years to drill your well and prove up your right. Otherwise, you have to apply again. And if in that time the state engineer closes the area to appropriation, you're out of luck. So if you're going to go buy a lot and plan to put in a private well, you have a finite time to get that done and spend the money to drill that well. So again, those water rights aren't just forever.
So John, do you feel that, what's your stand then? So for the larger subdivisions greater than 4 acres, do you feel they should not, or they should have dedicated roads? Are you saying that you think there's enough layer of protection as is?
I've got very mixed feelings about it, because I think if somebody were to do a big subdivision under our current ordinances, we'd be forcing them to do something that we'd be very unhappy with when they got finished, with wide streets and so forth. Which people said, well, that's not what we want here in Boulder, and I agree. So I think Colleen's right. This, you can't just change one part of this without looking at the entire ordinance and see how that affects other things. So if we require, for larger subdivisions, we probably have to revisit our street standards as well, and maybe even look at just what our review process is for a larger subdivision. But I think that kind of is a separate question from these immediate amendments that facilitate smaller subdivisions. So I would like to hear, one thing I would like to hear, if Judy Drade is online, is just some input from the town council perspective about how they feel about having to maintain subdivision roads.
She is on. Judy, are you there, Judy?
Yeah, I just barely Yeah, I just barely got in. Hang on a minute. My hubby's listening to TV. I'm got my earphones on. Let me turn that down.
So I guess to answer your question, Matt, you know, I've got really mixed feelings about this, and that's why I'm so interested in hearing, you know, what people in town think and feel about both the small subdivisions and then our street standards in general.
So Matt, when you and John, you might remember this too, when we did the Kennedy subdivision, that was 6 lots or 8? Matt, do you remember?
I wasn't on the council when that went through.
That was the biggest subdivision I think that we've had for quite a while. And I think it was 6 to 8 as far as, you know, looking at the size and how, like you were saying, how big, how you know, 100, you know, somebody comes in with a 100 home subdivision opposed to even somebody that has 8 to 10 and what was required of him for those 8 to 10 lots. I think there was 6 to 8 of them actually. And the roads and And all of his roads are still the same. Like nothing, you know, they didn't have to repave or do anything for the Kennedy subdivision. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and sorry, John, I hear your concerns around the larger subdivisions. I hadn't thought into all that, you know, when it comes, you know, so we don't have like the urban cul-de-sac look in country rural Boulder with, you know, curbs and gutters and I don't know, more than we need is what I'm saying. But yeah, at least your assessment, is there enough layers of protection and with the fire stuff and with the town council weighing in on it that are already built into the subdivision that you think that could be mitigated or at least controlled better by not having dedicated streets?
I think there are two separate questions. What I was really clarifying is I think Lee's expression of concern that we'll suddenly have a big subdivision proposed and be unable to stop it, and then we're stuck with whatever is allowed under our current ordinances is not a big risk, but that's a really separate discussion. With a bigger subdivision, if you're talking tens of lots, having a road owned by a homeowners association is probably not as problematic, because with 10 people, you're probably going to get a little more consensus. But it's when you have like three owners on a road and one wants to fix it up and the other two don't want to spend any money, and now you've got an impasse. So that's the disadvantage of private owned roads. Having all lots on public streets has huge advantages in terms of just the clarity of people's rights. But as I say, that's if you start creating new streets as public streets, the town has to be willing to take them over and maintain them. And that's what I was hoping Judy could weigh in on.
Well, you know, I've only been involved for a couple of years, but after listening to the town council, and I can't speak for all of them, but my gut feeling says that they definitely would like to keep things rural. And it is, you know, we're going to grow. So I'm with you. Right now, we need to keep up the roads that we have and even possibly widen the road down in Lower Boulder eventually. And of course, we're going to have to get grants and match the money and do all those things to do it. So taking a look at like a big subdivision and maintaining those roads, the feel I have is that the town council wants it to keep it as rural as possible. And I don't know if I'm totally answering your question, But that's what our ordinances are all about, trying to stick with the general plan and keeping Boulder as close to what we want it to look like. So however we do that, I'm personally in favor of private roads. But, you know, when that happens, people are going to have to be smart enough to write things up to protect each other. The problem that we're running into right now with the right-of-way that we have with the Wilson's Road that we're dealing with right now is a prime example of that situation. And it's because things weren't, I can't find a contract. So it really is going to have to be left up to the attorney. So that really is something we have to look at. But does that answer your question, sort of?
Yeah, I mean, that, I think that's really helpful, Judy. And, you know, well, a couple of things. First off, I think you should save your money and not worry about widening Lower Boulder Road. It'll just increase the speeds. But beyond that, why is the town involved in the Wilson Road if it's a private road?
Because the town has the right of way. It's a 60-foot right of way, and it comes right, it appears to come right up to the property line. And that's why we had to send it off to Mark McKiff to Candace and Corey. They can't settle it right. They don't want to settle it right now. They want it to go to the attorney. So we kind of have to just wait and see what the attorney does. But that road being a right of way for the town, and they don't have anything in place stating anything except for a 60-foot right of way, and it appears to come right up to the motel. So okay, we're working on that now.
So it's really only in an incident that the town itself has a right of way that they would be called in to a possible dispute between on a private road that belongs to other people.
Okay,
thank you.
Information. Well, I guess it sounds to me like maybe we need to spend some time sort of tightening up the different subdivision things and maybe putting some time into, you know, differences between smaller ones and bigger ones. I think maybe it's Lee, maybe it's Curtis who said this in the past, that the difficulty with having rules for small subdivisions is that people could then theoretically keep dividing. I don't know if that's really realistic, or I don't know if there's a way around that. Perhaps I feel like our subdivision process is like intense enough that someone probably wouldn't want to keep doing it over and over and over again. But I guess they theoretically could. So, but we might want to spend some time figuring out, yeah, like what we want the difference between those things to be. For me, it just seems like if somebody's going to divide a piece off for somebody else, which I stated last time is like the only way I'm really seeing it work for young people right now. I don't know that, yeah, I guess it feels tricky to me that we treat those things like big developer subdivisions when they seem like they should be pretty straightforward to me.
Thank you, Elena.
I think maybe to move things forward, I think we've got two things we can do. One would be for next month, think through some rewording of the draft amendments that we had to include both Lee's suggestion of allowing flag lots and driveway easements, and we also have a discussion about the street design standards, which is for the minutes section 152.095 in the ordinance, and take a good look at what we require and ask the questions of, what is that really what we want for Boulder? So I think that'd be a very helpful discussion.
Yeah.
And I think it gets back into the thing that if we've got ordinances on the books we don't enforce, that's bad all around. So either we need to start telling people, oh, you've got to widen your driveways to 22 feet, or we've got to take that off the books.
Well, and I think that's why we're doing this, is because there are a lot of things in our ordinances that needed to be updated and changed. And we do have an issue. We have a problem with enforcement. There is no enforcement here as far as that goes. So, I think the thing is I feel like we will have Lee here next month. And I think we're going to have more information to give to him. Like I said, usually he's asking us questions, and with what you gave us, John, that gave us a chance to talk about some things. And I think once we talk to Lee again, we'll know more of what we want to do with the subdivision ordinance and these streets. So I appreciate everybody's comments tonight.
I have one more comment, Colleen, just to make an actionable item out of this. Is I wonder if John or Elena, or I suppose I could do it too, if someone's willing to work with Lee to update him on this stuff. So when he comes to the next meeting, he's prepared with sort of the ideas that we've been talking around.
Well, in general, John, I mean, Lee always, he generally will know what's going on. I mean, if somebody wants to make sure, that's good, but Lee almost always knows what's going on and keeps up with us. But that's
a good last week, so I might just follow up with an email and know what we talked about.
Thank you, Elena. I think it's important to have a liaison, and that is things get slipped by any if not.
What I'll do is write up some notes on the street design standards, similar to what I did before. Let people have a chance to look at it. Lee gets a chance to look at it that way. And I think that'll help facilitate the discussion if everyone's happy with that.
Yeah, Peter had some a paper that he gave to Ray on street standards. The thing is too is, and we have to remember, once we go into January, I think it'll be Judy will be the mayor, and we as a commission will continue to continue through the subdivision ordinance for as long as she wants us to, you know, because that was what Steve wanted us. This is one of the last things that Steve as a mayor gave us to do as a planning commission. And I think we'll see what Judy wants and what direction she wants us to take too. And I'm pretty sure, she's not there, but I'm pretty sure she'll want us to continue to move forward with this. So thank you for all of your input. Peg, are you there? I feel like
yes, I am.
Oh, okay, yes. Peg. So I assume that you've got all this, that what John just said as far as putting that on the agenda. We'll follow through with the with both the hydrology study and the private streets and right-of-ways for the subdivision amendments. Those will be two things that we'll put on for the January 13th meeting.
Yep, I got that.
Okay. And I think that's all for right now. It's just those two things, right? Okay.
April may want to speak to this, but it's looking more like she may well have something from Ray officially, conditional use application, most likely by next month. And there's another person asking about business license and conditional use for short-term rental up in the King Estates. The paperwork's not been submitted, but that's a possibility as well.
And then we have the training and the other things that will, so those will come on the agenda too. I didn't want to forget about that.
Yeah.
So first, those items will come up first. So does anybody have any comments, the Planning Commission, before I open to the public comments? Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and open for the final public comments.
I'm not seeing Zoom hands raised. Who's all in the audience in the room?
No one.
Oh, okay. I don't see any Zoom hands.
Okay. Can we make a motion to close the meeting then? Okay, then I'd like to make a motion to close the meeting.
I'll second that motion. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
John, aye.
Haley Opperson, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Elena Hughes, aye.
Thank you all for a good meeting.